Two consecutive days, we are at it. That used to be the norm. It used to be 5 days a week. We're getting there. And yes, I'm going to comment on this like literally every episode because it's a surprise to me as much as it is to you. But this one's a huge one. This one has some gravitas that some others don't have. And I hope you will be as excited about it as I am because we are bringing in a special guest and it's something that I have been wanting to, it's one of the people that I wanted to have on the show for some time. I'm very, very excited about it. We will get to that momentarily. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire. And before we get going, assuming that my little spinning gear stops spinning, which doesn't look like it's going to, I do want to mention that this show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate, like your friend's trip, book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. So coming up, the latter two-thirds of this show, we are bringing in former Fab Five player Jimmy King. I am super excited about that, guys. You have no idea how, like, to me, Fab Five was Michigan, right? Like that, more than football. Granted, I grew up, you know, paying probably more attention to Michigan football, but I have very little recollection of that. Where I really got amped up as, you know, someone who was quite young, I was 10, it was like 10 through 12 was the ages that I was when the Fab Five were playing. I mean, it was everything to me. Watching the Fab Five, I cried when Chris Webber called the timeout. Bawled. Like, they were everything to me. I pretended to be all five of them out on the basketball court out in my driveway. I was constantly pretending to be them. I remember trying to, like, creating... Listen, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, only child, out in the country, single mother. So I have... There's a reason why I'm a creative. I'm a very active imagination, even still. But, you know, I'd sit there and pretend to be Jimmy King trying to make shots over, you know, Christian Laettner and Eric Montross. I know those guys are centers and everything, but still, you know, that's my point stands. Like, I pretended to be, you know, every guy in the Fab Five. So it's really exciting to bring him in. That's a dream come true for me. So very excited for that. But first, before we get into the Jimmy King of it all, and we will welcome him on. Very excited to talk about the Juwan Howard hire and how does it bring everything together? That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the state of Michigan basketball. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about Brandon Peters, who selected Illinois as the place that he is chosen to go, which I'm actually surprised because all indications from the people that I trust were that Purdue was going to be the place, and Illinois ends up getting it. And Illinois is just, they're just killing it on the transfer market, by the way. They've gotten three former Trojans, who's a Trayvon Sidney, I can't remember the second one, and then they got Josh Yamator-Hebby. I don't know if I'm butchering his name or not. They've already brought in guys like Camilo Eifler, who will be able to play this year, the linebacker who was a four-star, Michigan targeted him, he ended up committing to Washington, he transferred after a year at Washington. They brought in Luke Ford, the tight end target that Michigan was trying to get, who ended up committing to Georgia, transferred from Georgia due to I believe it was his grandfather's illness, and the NCAA, with their short-sightedness, did not give him a hardship waiver, which is stupid. Because he's from that area, he's from Illinois, if I'm not mistaken. So that's why, you know, he moved closer to home to be closer to family in this moment. And then they bring in Brandon Peters. And at some point, this is all going to pay off for Illinois. Yeah, they've been bottom of the barrel for a while, but it wasn't that long ago. It was a little over a decade ago or about a decade ago, and I don't remember the exact year, that they went to the Rose Bowl. They beat Ohio State with Juice Williams as their quarterback, and they went. They had talent. You know, that's when they had Mikel LeShore. They had players, and right now they've got players. They might be something kind of cast-offs in a way, but they've got some guys. And Brandon Peters now gives them a quarterback. And I've been telling you for some time that Brandon Peters is a lot better than people give him credit for. No, he is not Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson, and I was slow to come around on Shea Patterson. Now, granted, when I say slow to come around on Shea Patterson, I mean in the industry, where I was in the industry. But not Michigan. There's a lot of Michigan fans who haven't come around on Shea Patterson. I was already on board with Shea Patterson by the time that he transferred to Michigan. But, you know, when I was down at the 2016 Army, actually it was 2017 technically, but 2016 Army All-American game, because it was that class, the 2016 class, you know, Shea ended up winning MVP of the game. I was, you know, down there with like Barton Simmons and Tom Loy and Steve Wiltfong and Rusty Mansell and a bunch of other people. And, you know, they were just slurping all over Shea. But they also really liked, most of them really liked Brandon Peters. I remember Barton talking about how high we were on the car ride back from the practice for the team that Shea and Brandon played for, by the way. KJ Costello was the other quarterback on that team. And I remember Barton talking about, you know, what he sees that's so special in Brandon Peters. And I've talked to people close to the Michigan side of things who have said, like, listen, Brandon Peters is going to be a really, really good quarterback. Like, we could see him going pro. Like, he's a very good quarterback. Just because it didn't work out in Ann Arbor, sometimes things just aren't a fit. And that's one of the things that we talked about yesterday. Sometimes things just aren't a fit. And he got kind of buried on the depth chart. And I just think that right now Michigan has a little bit more of a dynamism at quarterback than they had initially intended to have with the top three guys they've got right now. And Brandon Peters, I think, was prototypical to what they wanted to do. But it was just bad timing because Shea transferred in. Listen, if Shea didn't transfer in, we would have had Brandon Peters all last year, probably. I know Dylan McCaffrey passed him up, but like I think it would have been most likely still Brandon had the inside track if there was no Shea. Because he I think, had a little bit more of a mastery of the playbook and everything just by virtue of being there. And he has the physical tools. And the reason why I bring all this up is because I get really annoyed anytime a guy transfers, because I tweeted out, like, hey, this... You guys have to understand, like, this guy is really good. Or, well, I didn't say that. I said, you know, Illinois lands another big name. And then you get some Michigan fans that start, like, laughing at the tweet and being like, LOL, yeah, Brandon Peters is a big name. And they act like I lost credibility. He is, especially for Illinois. High four-star guy that, like, pretty much could have gone anywhere. Yeah, he didn't end up having the litany of offers because he committed to Michigan relatively early, but I mean, there were still schools pursuing him. If I'm not mistaken, and I very well could be, if I recall correctly, Alabama was pursuing him. There were a litany of schools that really wanted to try to lure Brandon Peters away from Michigan, and it just wasn't going to happen at that point. So it's ridiculous when, okay, things don't work out for a guy in Ann Arbor. And then you get certain elements of the fan base that when you're like, you know, when you say that that guy's a good player, just because you didn't see it with like regularity, that, you know, people laugh at him. Keeping in mind that until that Outback Bowl performance, everyone was super on board with Brandon Peters, right? Like, how many times back when I was at 24/7 Sports did I have to dispel all of the people who wanted Brandon Peters to start over Wilton Spate back then? It was like a constant, like, hey, stop it. I remember doing the live chats on the 24/7 Michigan page. Like, I would have a live chat where people could do a Q&A. And there were so many people there, like, when are we going to get rid of Wilton and put Brandon Peters in? I'm like, stop it. Wilton gives you the best opportunity to succeed now. And he did. And that's why things went awry when they did. And I think if you would have had a healthy Brandon Peters, Michigan probably beats Ohio State that year. Now, I don't know. I'm not trying to be Brian Lewerke, Michigan State about it all, but Brandon could make those throws that were necessary. He's going to be really good at Illinois. Now he's getting some people that are going to be around him. He's got 2 years. He leaves with his degree. I don't think Michigan fans are necessarily going to be like, man, I wish we had him back, because I think Michigan's got a really good stable of quarterbacks right now. But I still think that the Michigan fans that are laughing him off are just short-sighted. It's that same thing like John U. Bacon says, the most popular guy on campus is the backup quarterback. There was a point in time when Brandon Peters was the most popular guy on campus. I remember going into the Penn State game, and it's the picture I used for his transfer story on Wolverine's Wire yesterday. I had a picture of Brandon Peters giving me the double, I love you, double horns, however you want to call it, the hand gesture, metal type deal, hook 'em, however you want to put it. And I remember I posted that and on my Instagram, and people went nuts. People were like super excited about the potential of Brandon Peters. And what changed? That Outback Bowl, and then you bring in Shea Patterson. Ironically, Shea is not as loved as he should be, in my opinion, because now there's that same subset, I'm sure, the people who don't like the fact that I said he's a big name that Illinois just got. I'm sure those are the same people that are clamoring for Dylan McCaffrey over Shea. And listen, Dylan's going to be awesome when he gets his turn. That's how that works sometimes. You have to matriculate sometimes, especially in a Jim Harbaugh system, because there's just a lot going on. Now, it will look a little bit different with Josh Gattis, all of that, but just know, like, Brandon Peters is going to have a really good opportunity in Illinois. He'll have a chance to really make a dent, and I think he will. I think that, having a quarterback is one of the things that Illinois hasn't had in a little while, because, Jeff George Jr., that obviously wasn't going to be the thing. They had a pretty decent rushing game last year, if I recall. So it's going to be a really good deal for them. All right. That's all that I have to say on that. Up next, we're going to talk to Jimmy King. I can't be more excited about it. But first, shirts shouldn't wrinkle. It's your sweat. It is 2019, people. Twillery makes stocking up your closet as simple as restocking beer in your fridge. Easy, affordable, and a perfect fit. Guaranteed. They offer non-iron, untuckable, and performance dress shirts for as low as $55 each when you bundle four or more. With free shipping and returns, try on some Twills. Risk-free, after all, feeling is believing. Smart casual just got smarter and cheaper. Twillery brings performance work shirts to the next level with four-way stretch material that shuts down wrinkles, stops sweat, and keeps you looking and feeling cool. Wish I had one here in this studio. It's like 90 degrees in here. For as low as $55 a pop when you bundle four or more and free shipping and returns, it's top value in smart workwear. Grab them here, www.twillory.com/lockedon. Promo code for $25 off is locked on. Up next, Jimmy King joins us. All right, as promised, I'm extremely excited about this next one. Like I said, I used to pretend to be this guy back in 1992, 93, when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. So it is my honor to bring in former Michigan basketball star and former Fab Five member. I guess you're not really former. You're still Fab Five. Jimmy King.
What's going on, my brother?
Jimmy, so excited to have you on, man. I've been looking forward to... But looking forward to the opportunity to get you on here, especially since we've gotten to be friends a little bit over the last couple months. So very excited.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on the show. Anytime. I know we've crossed paths doing a lot of events. So, it's my pleasure, my honor to be here with you today, doing the podcast.
Well, definitely more pleasure's all mine, all on this side. And one of the things that, one of the places that we crossed paths was at the Juwan Howard press conference a couple weeks ago. And one of the things that you said is you're like, I think I might be even more excited than Juwan about this hire. Why is that? Why are you so excited about the Juwan coming back to Michigan as the head coach?
Because, literally a week before this was in on anyone's radar. So for him to, you know, to accept a job and first to be considered, and him actually accepting a job and becoming the head basketball coach for the men's program is just incredible. And especially in the manner which it went down, with Beeline departing the way he did, and then just kind of the whirlwind that kind of happened after that. But my sentiment was just that, you know, all the things that's going on over the years with the relationship with the Fab Five, and you know, I'm just using that in general, you know, the group, you know, we all had our relationship with the university individually, obviously. And that's why it's so exciting to see Juwan get the job. I was excited because, again, it's just surreal to think that he, my former teammate and roommate, is the head coach at the University of Michigan. And it's a big opportunity, a big honor. And that's why I was cheesing ear to ear and so excited when I saw you at the press conference.
Now, like you said, you all had your different relationships with the university. It seems like you've been kind of more involved than some of the others. Just to kind of quickly pivot to you and everything, because I remember I saw you at the Nike football unveil, the big block party type thing, but mm-hmm. not everyone was involved quite then. Jalen didn't come back until really he started seeming like he was getting involved with the university once they had the basketball unveil and they had him host it with DJ mm-hmm. Khaled. Juwan got mm-hmm. seemingly involved a little bit later, coming and checking in with the basketball team and getting meeting up with the football team. And mm-hmm. Chris only finally made his return this past year for the Penn State football game. What was that experience like for you to kind of get re-involved, and what kind of prompted that opportunity for you?
Well, for me, you know, I've been here. I've been the lone guy who has resided in the state. Jalen resided, I mean, obviously he's from here. He'll always be here. He has a school here. But he moved away a few years ago, sold his home here, and had to move out to L.A. because he was doing the show. Mm-hmm. So I was the only one that was here consistently for the past 25 years. And so the relationships obviously, you know, flowed through me when, you know, they were strained, or even just as sometimes just as a friendly liaison or a reminder to, you know, reach out to certain people. So that was pretty much my role with not just, you know, my former five teammate members, but all of Michigan basketball players when called upon. So my relationship really hasn't really changed since the day I stepped foot on campus as a freshman. So over the years, and, you know, I'm not saying it like I'm, you know, taking credit, but I help massage, you know, some of those relationships, and just me being here consistently gave confidence in Jalen and Juwan and Ray and Chris to, you know, to come back when they could.
Now, how obviously, like you said, that it's been ongoing, but how much has it meant to you to see that it's continually that you've been a part of, you know, bringing everybody back, and to see that the university is starting more and more to embrace, you know, you guys as a group? I mean, you guys established a culture, not just at Michigan, but, you know, for the basketball program, but in all of basketball. So, I mean, I'm one of those people that thought, you know, okay, yes, there were things that happened, and I understand why the university did what it did. But at the same time, like, you guys changed the culture of basketball at every level. So, like, what has it meant to you to see the progress that's been made over the last couple of years, particularly?
It's been great. It's been something that's been a lot of hard work. And you know, I mentioned this to Jalen a few weeks ago, is that I think the perception was publicly that the relationship was tolerated. There was a tolerance of the relationship and between the Fab Five and the university. But the reality was is that we were building behind closed doors, and to a lot of people, I know it would seem as like, for instance, the Juwan Howard hiring was kind of quick, but really that's just a familiarity with the relationship that's been building behind closed doors over the years. So I just think that, you know, what we're seeing, what we're witnessing now is a culmination of that, those talks and that relationship that we've been building for the past recent years.
Well, I'm glad to see it happen. I'm glad to, even though, and we'll get into this here in just a moment, even though I was definitely critical, especially before the hire, a little bit less after the introduction, but definitely before the hire, I was critical of the hire. And we'll get into, like I said, we'll get into that in just a moment. But I'm glad to see that this is all happening. Like I said, you guys are part of my childhood. I know that part of my love for Michigan. I know that I'm not alone in that. But before we do, we'll get more into the overall ramifications of the Juwan Howard hire in just a moment. But before we do exactly that, is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Just know that your company could be mentioned right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcasts. Our demographic is 98% male and has more education and earns more than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast. Email me at lockedonwolverines@gmail.com. Coming up after the break, more with Jimmy King. We're going to hear a little bit more of his thoughts on Juwan Howard being hired as the new Michigan basketball head coach. All right, we are back. We've got Jimmy King, former Fab Five player, current Fab Five player. I don't know how to state that, apparently. But we got Jimmy King on the line here. Jimmy, to continue what we were talking about here, like I said, I was really skeptical. I thought that John Beilein, with the work that he did coming in, and maybe there's a bias there for me. John Beilein's first year was my senior year at Michigan. And So maybe there's a little bit of bias there for me, but I thought with everything that he had built, two national championship appearances, you knew that Michigan was going to pretty much get to the Sweet 16 just about every year, at least in the last 7-8 years or so. So I thought that Michigan had built up a little bit more cachet than going out and getting a first-year head coach. Why am I wrong?
Well, you got to look at the pedigree of that first-year head coach. Just because they're a first-year head coach don't mean that they don't have the cachet or deserve or can't handle the pressure of being the men's basketball coach here. Particularly, you look at what John Beilein has built. He's built a wonderful program. Like you said, it's back in the national spotlight. You can expect them to be successful in the Big Ten and nationally every year, making a deep run in the tournament. And so with that, when you look at the next steps of how you want to develop your talent and the kids that you currently have, because you have an obligation to those, especially the ones that were that may feel, you know, obviously abandoned by a coach. And I'm not putting it out there like, you know, Beilein abandoned his players. It's not what right. I'm saying. I'm just saying that if you're looking, you know, to the higher, then I think you have to incorporate the feelings of the current players. And in my opinion, I think that will weigh pretty heavily. And if that's so, I'm looking at a guy who has a relationship or can relate to the type of players that I want at my university. And Juwan Howard embodies that. Again, when you look at being a top three player in the All-American in high school, you know, going to a major university at the University of Michigan, being highly successful there, leading them, being an All-American at the university, going to two Final Fours. I mean, we know the track record. And then on top of that, you know, the success he had after his college days, that's the message that you want to send to the players that you want to recruit, in my opinion, when you're looking to continue developing a program that's been set. Of course, you're going to have ups and downs. It's going to be trial and error. He is a first-year coach, so I just think that the expectations are, you know, fair. And again, I can understand and see why you would want someone or think, you know, someone that has a long tenure or at least been a head coach somewhere to come in. However, I just, again, I think this is a very unique situation. And it happens to be a guy who played at the University of Michigan and was a Fab Five member. Because if you really, you know, look at it too, from another perspective, Juwan Howard was getting a head coaching job in the NBA. So I know that, again, if he wasn't attached to the University of Michigan and wasn't a former Fab Five member or Fab Five member, I don't know if it would be so many questions, because I think people will look at his pedigree, look at his track record, and you know, can kind of draw parallels to why he would be successful at college, at the college game. So that's just, you know, my opinion on it. I think, you know, everybody's going to have their own, you know, I try not to be biased, but again, I know it. I know the guy, and right. I know that, like, the pure emotion that you saw in his conference, press conference, that's the type of leader that you want, because not only, obviously, he's a real man that's not afraid to cry. he's a man that that promotes healthy emotions. If you want to have a all-around type of player, or not even a player, just a person, a human being, that's the type of character that you want to build in out of your players, and see them be successful. You want a model guy like Juwan, and to see his raw and true emotion come out that way is really something I think that mothers all across the country will be able to, you know, resonate with. Even, I mean, just parents alone, not just mothers, but parents, fathers too. You know, they know they got a guy that will be fair and be firm, but also too won't ignore their emotions, because he's in tune with his. So I'm excited to see how he plays out, and what goes on in the next couple of years. But I know one thing: he got my support, and he has everybody's support that I've spoken with, and we're just looking forward to having some fun.
You know, I think that is definitely a key, like you said, having the support. And that is one thing that it seems to be there in spades. Even those who do question, they all kind of, kind of like Jim Harbaugh coming and coaching the football team. It's a different scenario, but at the same time, it's you see a lot of support. And it's one of the things that Jordan Morgan said to me at his golf outing, which you were a part of the other day. Jordan said, this really galvanizes the, you know, the Michigan community and creates a lot of healing. So with that in mind, what healing still kind of needs to happen? And like, how does it create that healing, having Juwan in place?
I think a lot of that healing is internal. I think the program has been fractured long before John Beilein or Juwan Howard and their predecessors, when it comes to the relationship with the university, or just players coming back. You know, not necessarily the university, just the relationship with the athletic department, basketball, and former players. John Beilein did a great job of reaching back to all of us. I know it was a priority. I know they've done a lot of great, about to say fundraisers, but reunions. excuse me, throughout the years. And so now I think again, it's the same thing as the basketball program when it comes to the X's and O's and developing players, developing players. It's the same when it comes to making sure that, you know, you develop an all around and touch on everything so that you know, he can be what we all want. And that's an elite program, an elite system, and an elite coach. And I think that he'll fit that bill.
Now, last question for you. Obviously, you guys had swag about you. The Beeline teams did too, but it was a little bit understated. Do you think that Juwan's going to bring a level of swag, especially? I mean, he's the head coach. He's not one of the players anymore. But do you think that that type of swag is going to be apparent with these future teams?
Absolutely. The teams always embodies the temperament of their coach. And Juwan is he was always our cheerleader. You know, if you ever look back at the film, and again, I know he's a player, but I know he gets excited and he loves the game. He loves seeing young athletes succeed. And so while, you know, they're messing up and or succeeding, he's going to be there very vocal and cheering them on with a loving hand. And that's just the personal side that I know of him. I think he's going to be firm but fair. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can count on him, you know, loving the kids. And that's one thing I can say, you know, not to call him a big teddy bear, but he can be when he needs to, but then he can also, you know, put the hammer down when he needs to. So it's a perfect balance. And I just think that's a healthy environment that he's going to foster for the program and for those kids. So we'll see. I'm excited. I know it's going to work. And that's my parting say. I know it's going to work just because his intentions aren't manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to, I think he's going to change the game as a coach like he did as a player. I think he's going to do that. I think he's going to shock a lot of people on the success that he has and he carries here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You have me hyped and fully, fully bought in. In ways that I wasn't before this call. So I am.
Well, I did my job.
Well, Jimmy, more than appreciate you coming on. Like I said, it's such an honor to have you on here. And
not anytime, my brother. I appreciate you.
Well, there are very few people out there that could speak with authority on this subject. And you are one of a handful. So it's excellent to hear all of that.
Well, thank you.
Well, for the Locked On Wolverines podcast, I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole. You can find me online at Isaiah Hole. Follow the podcast at On Wolverines, Wolverines Wire at Wolverines Wire. If you would like to be a featured sponsor on the show, email me at lockdownwolverines@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Himalaya, wherever you get your podcasts, or online at wolverineswire.usatoday.com, where we post our daily podcast every single day to go along with the rest of your Michigan football and basketball coverage. This was Locked On Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day.